Welcome to Straightforward, the engaging audio series of North Group Consultants designed to provide you with direction for your future. In this edition, Roger welcomes his guest, Deborah L. Rohr, Executive Director of Leadership Lancaster. Roger and Deb will be discussing Deb's leadership journey. Now from North Group Consultants, here's Roger North.
Two nights ago, I had a really memorable experience. At least I think it's going to be memorable a number of months and perhaps years from now. And as I was thinking about that experience, I was recognizing that most of the time, memorable experiences take us by surprise. Because if we plan for them, they tend not to be so memorable. But if we just let them happen, they tend to have an opportunity to become memorable. And such as it was for me two nights ago. 18 years ago, I had a really memorable experience that lasted about 9 months. It was a community leadership program that I had the opportunity to be a participant in called Leadership Lancaster. Many of you have probably heard of that program. In fact, there's community leadership programs all over the country. There's Leadership Tucson and Leadership Philadelphia and Leadership Chicago and, of course, Leadership Berks and Leadership Harrisburg and Leadership York, and they're all wonderful programs, but we think we have a particularly wonderful program here in Leadership Lancaster. I had the opportunity to go through that program 18 years ago, and not only was it memorable, but looking back on the experience of 18 years, it's been a particularly formative experience on my entire personal and professional life. I was fortunate to finish that nine-month program in 1991. A few years later, I was fortunate to be invited to join a board of directors of the organization. A few years after that, I was really fortunate to become the chairman of the board. And we had an opportunity just a couple of years ago to hire a new executive director. And that new executive director, who has become a great friend of mine, is here as my guest today, Deb Rohr. Deb, welcome to Straightforward.
Hi, Roger. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Deb, it's my pleasure, too. We just have such fun together. You and I had lunch together a few weeks ago, and I thought, wow, we never run out of things to talk about, and I think that will be true today. But that's not a warning that this is going to be longer than usual. We'll find a way to cut it down to a manageable listening time. Well, Deb, you and I have only known each other, I think, for a little less than 2 years, and yet it feels like a lot longer than that. Give us a little bit of your personal history. Did you grow up in Pennsylvania? How did you get here? All those kinds of fun things.
Actually, I was born and raised in a small town outside of Allentown called Coopersburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And when I was about 15 years old, my father was transferred to Harrisburg. So my mom and my brothers and my dad moved to Harrisburg. And in 1980, I graduated from high school and came to Millersville University.
You're young.
I'm young.
Younger than me.
That's true, Roger.
I'm jealous. But we already knew that.
Just decided to stay here in Lancaster, mm-hmm. settle here, and raise my family.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about your family.
I have two daughters, 19 and 16, mm-hmm. and married to Charlie Rohr, mm-hmm. my husband.
And here's one of the things I love about Charlie. He owns an island.
He owns
now,
an island.
Now, he's the only person I know that owns an island. How do you get to own an island?
The island has been in Charlie's family for a few generations. I think it was his great-grandparents and some friends of theirs were boating along the Susquehanna and saw this island. And you can lease the island from the energy company. And there's a cabin on the island. It's a weekend getaway. Very rustic, but very peaceful. And a really beautiful way to decompress
yeah.
from the week's stresses. There's no running water or no electricity. So
oh, no electricity.
No electricity.
You leased it from the power company and it has no
ironic.
Electricity. I
Absolutely
just see a lot
ironic.
Of ironies there.
It did have electricity at one time. I can maybe they forgot to pay the bill, Roger.
I doubt it. Not that family.
Not that family.
No. And only accessible by boat, I presume.
Only accessible
yep.
by boat.
Yep.
But lots of things to do down there.
Well, I have to cut in here a second. You know, there's this movie not too long ago that people were talking about, The Bucket List, the Jack Nicholson movie.
Yes, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I think I'm going to put a visit to Charlie's Island on my bucket list.
Roger, as
what do you
past
think?
Chair of Leadership Lancaster, we're actually going to have a board retreat there
Beautiful.
In the spring.
Beautiful.
So you will get an invitation.
Okay, I hope it's during the daytime.
It will be.
That's great. Hey, Deb, I think before you joined us at Leadership Lancaster, you had some significant community leadership experience here in Lancaster County. Tell us a little about that and how you moved through that portion of your life.
I was an at-home mom for about 8 years, and when the girls started school, I decided it was time for me to get back to working outside the home, and I started working for the Central Pennsylvania chapter of the March of Dimes, and that was very rewarding work. I was involved in fundraising and a lot of community building for maternal and infant health. Mm-hmm. Then I worked for the United Way of Lancaster County, and that also was a very rewarding experience because of the number of people that are helped by United Way member agencies.
And Lancaster has a particularly successful partnership with United Way, do we not?
It's a very successful partnership, and I think the one thing that makes it successful is the volunteers, the business leaders that are supportive of United Way, who volunteer their time through the different programs, through the annual fundraising campaign, on the board of directors. The relationship between the staff and the volunteers is truly phenomenal.
That is such a great point, because I think that relationship between the staff and the volunteers is in a lot of ways perhaps the most critical thing in making nonprofit community building organizations successful. If we each understand our roles, volunteers and staff, and we stay within them and work them relationally, the organizations that I've been involved in that have been particularly successful had a real great understanding of the role and how we could help each other and not overstep each other. And ones that I had that struggled a little more tended to struggle in that relationship. Has that been your experience, Deb?
Yes, it has been. The thing that is so terrific with the volunteer-staff relationship is the volunteers of not-for-profit organizations really are the face of the organization in the community. They are the business leaders. They are the ones that are really devoting their time as experts in whatever field they bring. They're the people that are in the community talking about the organization, promoting the organization, really are talking about the importance of the organization in the community. That's not to say that the staff doesn't have an important role. We are going about the day-to-day operations, but the volunteers really are the ones that give the organization credibility.
I think that it actually carries a little more impact when it's a volunteer telling you how important they believe your contribution is or your volunteerism is. There's just something a little bit extra there which says, hey, this person is putting their time and treasure and talent, if you will, where their mouth is, and I have a lot of respect for that, so maybe I'll listen to that. I know in the early phases of my community building career, I was asked to be a United Way rep, and I got to go talk to other businesses about the importance of United Way and ask them to give a significant gift and ask them to conduct an employee campaign. And because I believed in the importance of it, and I came from an organization that demonstrated it and gave me time to go out and volunteer on behalf, I began to believe in it. And I think there's sort of an infectious cycle that gets going there. And I think that's a lot of what community building is about.
Absolutely. I was thinking about how that really is sort of the crux of community leadership for me. And that is, you're putting aside your own personal agenda. You're putting aside your business, maybe your own personal beliefs or your own ideas and opinions about things.
I think more the ideas and opinions than the beliefs, because when we can link those beliefs to something larger than ourselves that is important, that's compelling. And that's what I found in community service, that when I found sort of a all of us is better than one of us idea, and
Absolutely. That
linked to something that I personally believed, and I was willing to give time and money and some of my gifts to those types of organizations. And that's what's been so compelling, is to find organizations that bring those beliefs out.
That's, I think, what is so, to use your word, compelling about Leadership Lancaster, because there is an opportunity for folks to develop their own leadership styles,
yes,
their own leadership skills, but also bringing their values and beliefs of really wanting to be a part of community building, a part of community change, a part of helping organizations to serve people better, using their expertise at the same time.
Whatever their expertise might be. And when I was a relatively young person, when I got to go through the program, and I found that I just knew only the minutest amount about the community that I lived in. And when I completed the program, I certainly didn't know anywhere near all there was to know, but I knew enough more to say, hey, there's something here larger than me, and it's something really good and compelling. And I want to make sure that whether it's even a little bit selfish for me and my family or for the greater good, that I make a contribution to that so that it keeps on growing and becoming vital and compelling for people in the future. And I think that's really what we're about at Leadership Lancasters. It's right in the name. It's helping people to understand the community in which they live and choose to make a contribution to it, and simultaneously building leadership capacity that it helps the organization move forward. We're just so privileged to have you as our executive director, Deb. You're doing a fantastic job. Tell us a little bit about what was compelling about the opportunity for you to move from such a great organization, United Way, to another great organization, Leadership Lancaster. Little bit of a risky career move there, Deb.
It was a risky career move.
Especially when I became your boss on day one.
I have learned a lot from you, Roger. Okay, I have really learned a lot. It was risky, but I really felt like I was at a point in my life where I was ready to take a risk. You asked me about my daughters earlier. They were 18 and 15 at about the time I accepted the position. So I was ready to try something new. I was ready to take on a new challenge. And I always thought at some point I wanted to run a not-for-profit organization, to be an executive director of a small nonprofit. And when this opportunity came about, I thought, I'll try. And you liked me enough to say, hey, let's go for it.
We did, Deb. You had a lot of the characteristics that we were looking for. And now we're seeing that played out in the continuing and growing success of the organization. What have you found to be particularly challenging since you've come to the role?
This is going to sound kind of paradoxical, but the biggest challenge is that there is so much energy and enthusiasm among, as you know, Roger, we have over 1,600 alum in the community. And I get a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails from everybody saying Leadership Lancaster should be doing this. And we're a small staff. There's 3 full-time people. And there's just so much that can be done. And the passion and energy among the alumni to do new things and try new things, that's the frustrating part, that there's not enough time and resources to get it all done.
And what a great place to be.
It's a great place to be.
We wouldn't want the opposite. But I think many of the challenges that we find in leadership are inherently a paradox. And the paradox I heard you were describing was, hey, we've energized the organization. As a result, there's lots of ideas, lots of people, lots of things we could do. And yet only a certain amount of things, a relatively limited amount of things that we can actually execute. How do we go about making good choices about that? And how do we go about continuing to engage the people who have offered ideas that we can't do right now? And I think that's a challenge for energetic business and community leaders everywhere. What do we do with that?
I think it speaks so loudly of where Lancaster is as a community with regard to the excitement and the passion or the enthusiasm or the desire for improving our community and really making an impact and wanting to be part of the change. And maybe it's because of being at Leadership Lancaster now. I see it more than I have in past years, the number of people and just the drive
to care about this place that we call home.
Every aspect of our community, you can see it, you can feel it. When you walk downtown or in all parts of the community, you could see it.
Deb, I remember when our executive committee was talking with you about this possibility to come on board at Leadership Lancaster, one of the questions we asked you was, have there been community leaders that you've worked with that have been influential on you in terms of how you lead and how you conduct yourself as a community leader? And I remember you giving just a very compelling example of a gentleman, and you described the influence that he'd had on you. And I'd love to hear you on that topic.
The gentleman you're referring to is Walt Legenstein, who is now the chairman of Certified Carpet. I had the absolute honor of working with Walt as he was a volunteer and I was a staff person at United Way. And I am just so in awe of Walt's absolute love. And I say that very truthfully. He loves this community and he loves being able to be a part of helping people. And I've never met someone who is so selfless in everything he does.
Oh, what a great compliment.
So genuine and so authentic. When you meet Walt Legenstein, he's the same Walt Legenstein that you would see at Certified Carpet, and he's the same Walt Legenstein that you'd see in our boardroom and the same Walt Liechtenstein that would be sitting talking to a potential donor.
Mm-hmm.
I learned so much from him.
Or at a picnic table
or
in
at
Long's
a picnic
Park
table
or wherever
at Long's
it might
Park.
Be.
Absolutely. And it was such an honor to work closely with him and his sons who are taking over the business. But I cherish the opportunity to work with him.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Other people, other books, other leadership influences on your life?
Well, you talked about my work at United Way, working for Susan Eckert, who is the president of United Way. She was a tremendous influence on me as a person and as a professional. I really enjoyed watching and learning from her. And I have to say, Roger, I've admired watching you and am so honored to have an opportunity to work with you. I miss you in our board meetings.
Well, thank you. We had a lot of fun together. And when you get things moving in a positive direction, it's an opportunity for other people to get on board. And you and I had the privilege of doing that together. And Deb, really, the fundamental characteristic that our executive committee defined that we were looking for when we went to look for a new executive director was likability. And that may sound a little trite. I found that it's not. People that are likable, that are engaging, that are enthusiastic, that are positive, that see the future as an opportunity rather than a barrier, are compelling to other people, partially because they drive energy, but also partially because they're rare. Brings me to another question I wanted to ask you is that I think that as we grow as leaders, there are certain things that we want to capitalize on that we are gifted in and perhaps can contribute to our leadership growth. And I think fairly naturally, there's other things that we need to overcome. For me, I've had to overcome an analytical, almost judgmental approach to looking at life. And I still battle with that on an everyday basis. I need to be very intentional about overcoming that. I was wondering if there's some part of your leadership character that you feel comes fairly naturally, and maybe another part that you really have to work at that you might be willing to share with us. Fairly personal question, but I'd love to hear you on that.
It is, Roger. And I've got to tell you, I started graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the classes that I'm taking now is sort of looking at our leadership styles mm-hmm. and what our leadership stance is. So I have a little bit of advantage because I've sort of been studying this about myself for the last 12 weeks. And I think my strength in leadership and what I hope that people see in me as a leader is my authenticity.
Yeah.
I try at all times to just be me and meet you where you are. And I value so much opportunities to, as a leader, to learn from other people.
Yes.
And I think that's where all my learning, all my experiences, those memorable experiences that you talked about earlier, I think that's where I get them the most. I think the one thing that I really need to work on as a leader is not, and I say this sort of tongue in cheek, but not taking over as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the middle child of two brothers,
mm-hmm.
and I have a tendency to want to take care of things and let's just get it done
mm-hmm.
and move on to the next thing.
And get it done with harmony, make
and
everyone
get it done with
happy.
Harmony. And exactly. But I also now know that part of being a leader is also looking at the process and how we get from one point to the next or from A to B.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, Deb, I was going to interject a point there, which I think you just brought out, and that is sometimes being a good leader means recognizing that there's other leaders in the room who can get us to that point better than we can.
Exactly.
And that's been another challenge for me is to understand that sometimes good leadership just simply means stepping aside and letting happen what will happen if that person is allowed to have the floor. And if there's a discomfort with ourselves in doing that, we're not going to be able to lead as well. And I think that's where we have to self-lead enough to know when our contribution, verbal, analytical, emotional, is needed, and recognize that other times what's needed is to let happen what's naturally happening in this room without us ruining the mood, if you will. And I think there's a lot to us recognizing that we're not always needed to play the traditional role, and I think some of the very best leaders aren't always sitting at the head of the table.
Absolutely.
And that's something I really learned in Leadership Lancaster, because we had this group of 45 people at the time that didn't know each other, and inevitably, there would be some people that emerged from that group that seemed to have an opinion and want to carry the day on just about every subject that came up, and others that didn't feel the need to do that. And inevitably, the people that rose to leadership, if you will, in that type of group setting were the latter folks and not the former.
Right. You're in a group with 45 or 50 people that you would have not met otherwise under any other circumstances.
Yes.
Other than going through Leadership Lancaster. You learn more from those people that you talked about that rise to leadership, but you also find those people whose leadership skills or leadership stance is sort of hidden inside, and this is sort of an avenue, a conduit for them to challenge themselves, to speak up and become a leader.
And what a gift it is when we as leaders can give opportunities to other people to find themselves as good self-leaders, who then can be good leaders of other people. I find that to be one of the most compelling things that happens in my life, in my profession, in my consulting life, as a father, in many different roles that I'm privileged to serve, is to just see a person find, I hadn't heard that term before, but I love it, to see their own leadership stance, to see what is their natural gifting and how they can play that out to make the world a better place. And boy, it is just a huge reward.
It really is.
When we can find a way to bring that out. Deb, I see tremendous parallels between the leadership characteristics and skills we see in excellent business leaders and those that we see in excellent community leaders. And certainly one of them is this authenticity that you mentioned earlier. Another is a certain integrity. And I think you talked about that when you talked about Walt Liechtenstein, that he's the same person in whatever circumstance he finds himself. Do you find that you see more of those people around you these days or less?
Definitely more.
I see exactly the same thing.
Definitely more. The absolutely wonderful part of being affiliated with Leadership Lancaster is that I really see the best of our community. I see people who are genuine and have an absolute respect for one another and for everybody in the community. We really do have a tremendous diversity in businesses and in people and cultures that really is our strength. And when we do rally around it, we all benefit.
And I think what leaders do is we identify the rallying point and then we call people to that. And boy, you have been a person that has exemplified that for me, Deb. Your enthusiasm, your authenticity, as you mentioned before, is just extremely attractive. You're doing a super job for the program at Leadership Lancaster, and you're going to be a great leader in our community for many years to come. Thanks so much for being with me here on Straightforward today. Have a great day, everybody.
North Group Consultants continues to provide direction for your future through sustained relationships. We identify issues by conducting assessments, provide assistance during organizational transitions, and develop leaders through coaching and accountability. As always, thank you for listening to Straightforward.